Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for joining us for another episode of All the Vegas. As usual, proudly coming to you from the space, home of Monday's Dark. You know me, I'm Brock. I have the best job in Las Vegas. I get to go to everything cool and fun and write about it for Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, which is the home of this podcast. LasVegasWeekly.com is where you can find all the Vegas. Mark Chinook, you're here like you normally are.
So excited.
You should be excited today. This is, I'm really going to depend on your Canadian-ness today because I am not Canadian and you are. And we're talking about hockey today.
That we can do. We can talk hockey, and we got the best guest to do it.
Definitely. Our guest this week is our friend, Ken Bulkey.
Yes.
Not Canadian. Not Canadian at all.
No, Canadian.
But you're from Chicago. That's
Yeah. I think I've been to Canada once, and I made the poor mistake. I was in Montreal. I walked into the gas station, and I said, "Bonjour." And then when I went to pay, he asked me, or he said it in French, what I was, and I'm like, I got nothing. I'm from America. I learned
this episode's over. We're done. Terrible. Forget it. Canada once calls himself a hockey fan.
Well, it's once more than me.
What am I supposed to do?
You haven't been to Canada either?
No.
I'm leaving.
No.
I quit.
It's overrated.
Easy.
We just import all the players.
That's right. We do.
I'm not allowed to leave the desert. So
is that right?
That's way too far north.
We don't want to know about your personal problems.
I was just going to say.
Ken, along with his partner in crime, Jason Pothier, launched the Sinbin website and podcast way back in 2015. Is that right?
That's right.
Sinbin, you know, has been exploring the ins and outs of the phenomenon of the NHL in Las Vegas way before the Vegas Golden Knights were even a thing. And really no one has followed the team or the organization closer than you have. So thanks for being here today to talk about the Golden Knights.
Love it. I still can't believe they're not awful.
That pretty much sums it up.
Welcome to the show. We're not awful.
So they're supposed to be. They should be. They're not. It's weird. I like it.
The cover story of Las Vegas Weekly this week is all about the Golden Knights and all the excitement heading into the playoffs. And my favorite part of this feature package is there's like this brief recap of all the negative predictions that came out before the season started.
Am I in there?
I don't think so. Oh my God. Did you have a negative prediction too?
Yeah, I said it's going to be worse than Colorado was last year.
I'm just thinking of like the Deadspin article and like there was a USA Today article and everybody said they were going to be last place and that they're just going to suck, which would be expected, right? But what were your expectations?
I thought they were going to be awful. Here's why. Because when you look at the way that the expansion draft worked, the idea was that they were going to get the 8th or 9th or 13th best player off every team. Somewhere in there. Somewhere between 8 and 12. Now, granted, it didn't quite happen that way. Marc-Andre Fleury is not the 8th best player on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Maybe he was at the time. I don't know. But James Neal, those types of guys. That was the idea. So when I went through and I'm looking at even the bad teams, a team like Arizona, Colorado, you're like, well, they have 4, 6, 7 players better than the Golden Knights have. Every single team. The good teams have like 11. Mm-hmm. Like, how is this team going to win? How is this team going to have any sort of sustained success? And the more I looked into it, the more I tried to figure it out, and I actually recently pulled up an article I wrote in August where I went through and said, if every single Golden Knight has the best scoring year of their career, they would have ranked 12th. In the NHL last season. They're better than that because they're all doing it. And one of them has scored 43 and he scored 6 last year in William Karlsson. It's ridiculous, but it's happening and I'm loving every second of it.
I'm going to do a side note real quick because at Monday's Dark this last week, Mark, you were going on and on about Karlsson and all of his amazing accomplishments. and you said he had scored 12 goals last year, and someone in the audience yelled out six, yeah. six, and was correcting you, and you were like, oh, shut up. That was my wife.
And that tells you the state of hockey in Las Vegas. I knew it wasn't many, so I just made up a number on the stage.
You were close. You were close.
12 is high. But yeah, he scored 6 goals last year. And, you know, we raised a lot of money from his jersey to finish that side note. We auctioned off a jersey and some playoff tickets and got $5,500. So
that is awesome.
Yeah.
There is a spectacular video that the Golden Knights put out when they went back to Columbus and William Karlsson's mic'd up and Jonathan Marchessault says, is there going to be a tribute video for you? And he goes, no. He's like, well, why not? And Karlsson says, I scored 6 goals all last year.
That's the tribute video. That's the tribute video.
Not much to show. Right. It's great.
I mean, why? It's obviously, nobody expected any amount of success like what the team has had this year. But, I mean, picking the team apart a little bit, like, why are we so awesome? Is it just an assembly of talent that didn't have the time to develop in their previous, or what are the other factors at play here?
That's one of the biggest things, especially Karlsson, especially Halla and Tuck and Schmidt and McNabb and all these guys, where basically they were getting 9, 10, 11 minutes, and now they're getting 18 to 22. And they're better than what they were doing before, and the numbers show it. You know, when you play 11 minutes, 6 goals isn't that crazy. When you play 18 and a half a game, all of a sudden you score 43. That's a little ridiculous, but that's one part of it. The other part of it is the way that they're built is unlike anything I think we've seen in really any professional sport, which is they don't have bad players. They aren't hampered in any spot at all, ever, even when they have injuries. They don't have as many elite players as other teams, but they're so balanced that they don't get tired because they don't have to worry about that. And they always have multiple players that are better than the other team's bottom players. And the question is, does that transcend into the postseason when the best players play even more? It's hard to tell. We're going to find out. Hopefully it does. But it's balance. And then it's also, there is something innate in humans that when you are let go from a team and said, we don't want you anymore, and this team wants you, and they all come together, I don't know how you don't have some sort of chip on your shoulder, play for the guy next to you, and you have a coach that's phenomenal. I don't understand how a 50-year-old man like this connects with 21 and 22-year-olds the way he does. It's insane. He is the perfect coach for what they're doing. It's unbelievable.
I still have a chip on my shoulder from getting cut from the freshman basketball team.
You and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. He does. That's true.
I know.
I think it's the opportunity.
I feel you like know, you turned down similarly. Your job might be better than his.
Right now it is.
Yeah, I would rather have doing what you're doing. I don't know what the hell Michael Jordan's doing now.
He's just angry all the time.
Just cutting
his fingers off with cigar cutters.
Michael Jordan, our guest on next week's episode.
Oh, is that happening? Do I get to produce that one?
Yes.
Yes.
I think what Ken said is spot on. It's the opportunity, and it's the chip. It's the chip on the shoulder. You know, those are the two big factors I think that go into it. Every time they played a team this year, somebody associated with the Vegas Golden Knights was a part of that franchise the season before. And they went into that arena and into that game knowing that, hey, tonight we're playing for him. Tonight we're playing for him. And that translates into effort. It translates into a better focus, a sense of purpose. So every game, there was a sense of purpose for the Vegas Golden Knights because somebody on the team was let go by that franchise last year. I think that's initially what it is. But then again, to what Ken was saying, our general manager and the coach are probably the best in their position in the National Hockey League. Specifically,
which is amazing.
Yeah, specifically for our coach Gallant. Like Ken hit it on the head. As a you know, I remember my days playing in junior and how important our training staff was and how important our coaching staff was in preparation for you know the step to next step into the pros. And I think because it's an expansion team and there are all different personalities now coming together for the first time, you almost need this this coach with a mindset that is not so much coaching elite players now. It's coaching a family. It's coaching a group of guys that need direction more so than ever because they're all coming from different parts of the game. And when there's a clear directive set in place, and that starts with your coach and general manager, you either jump on board or you get let go. And there were opportunities this year where I thought there might have been more trades than we did at the trade deadline, where it was like, hey, you know, but guys bought into the program quickly. And I think that it goes back to, it's a circle where it comes back to, hey, man, I was let go by a team and here I am in an unbelievable position, in a beautiful place to live, in a great market with a brand new facility. I'm going to say it, no state tax for a professional athlete is massive. You know, so
that hasn't even come to fruition yet.
No, not even close. I mean, a lot of these guys are under contract.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
These guys were brought here without their doing. Yeah. Wait till they have the choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like now that we're a first place team, a division champion, it's a draw. People are going to want to play here. They didn't have the choice when they were selected. But now moving forward, forget what happens in the playoffs. We're a first place division champion team. That's enough right there to say, hey, these guys can compete in the West and win. I want to play in Vegas.
I think if they flare out in the first round and it looks like, well, this balanced speed transition style of game doesn't translate to the postseason, it may not be as much of a draw, but I don't think that's terribly likely.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be the case anyway. I think we're too competitive that it's not going to be a bust. Like we can predict we can't predict what's going to happen in the playoffs, but I can tell you that these guys are going to compete lights out, and they're going to have probably one of the greatest atmospheres in professional hockey in the Fortress. You know, like it's going to get loud in there.
It's going to be wild. Yeah, it's going to be wild in that building.
Yeah. Again, I'm no hockey expert, but from what I understand, the playoffs are a separate beast in the NHL, different from other sports, much more intense environment. What is it that makes playoff hockey so exciting for everybody?
This is what people like to say, that it's a different game and it's a different environment. The fact is the stakes are higher. Is it different playing poker in the World Series of Poker final table or with your buddies? The stakes are higher. It's still the same game. You still have to do the same thing. The best players still are the best. There are cases where people crumble under pressure. That may or may not happen to the Golden Knights. That may or may not happen to the team they play. But I think it's overblown in a way, other than the fact that as a fan watching, those goals matter. Those moments matter. Those penalties matter. The fact that the game does not end until someone actually scores, rather than we change the rules and then play this stupid contest to decide who wins the game at the shootout is so dumb. They don't do that in the playoffs. It's we will play and we will stay here all night long until someone gets the thing in the thing. Once that happens, then we will go home and you will either be elated or you will not be able to sleep until we play again. The stakes are just a little bit higher. The pressure raises. But yeah. I still think that doing the right things, and when you have a team that is just very, very good, there's no reason why it should change at all.
Yeah. The game tightens up a little bit in the sense that guys understand the stakes are higher, and nobody wants to make a mistake. Because I don't see high-scoring games in the playoffs in our first round. I could be wrong on that, but I think the game that we play lends itself to being a little tighter. And I think defensively on the Golden Knights side, you know, guys are just going to be in their head that they just don't want to make a mistake because it could be the mistake that loses the game.
I actually think it's going to help. I think the style is going to help the Golden Knights.
I think so,
because
too.
Because the thing that tends to happen in the Golden or in playoff hockey is teams do what you said. They attempt to avoid mistakes. And what that means is you back off a little bit more in certain places. You give more space in certain places, less space in other places. Yeah. I think what it's going to wind up doing is it's going to allow the Golden Knights to have the puck more.
Yeah, our speed and our forecheck will...
And if they have the puck, they're very dangerous. Yeah. They're very dangerous. Where they're bad is when they can't get the puck back. which that could very well happen to a couple of these teams. There are certain teams that they could play that would be a problem. But I think that the added pressure, the added atmosphere that's going to be in a building, and the fact that I don't think it's going to be new to the Golden Knights. I know that everyone wants to say they don't have a lot of playoff experience and they've never played as a team, but they've played in a building and they've played in a lot of games that mean a lot more than one first playoff game. That first game on October 10th, you cannot lose that game, period. And they knew it. And what did they come out? They came out and dominated the hockey game. The other team didn't match their intensity, but I don't know that teams can. So I think it could be a good thing. I think they might even be more suited for the playoffs than what people are saying that they'd be less suited.
The style of play that we came out of the gate with, you mentioned the home opener. I think we saw it reported across the league. When teams played us for the first time, I'd pass guys in the hallway up on the media floor, and they'd be like, man,
what
this
happened?
This team is fast, they forecheck, and they want it. And I think with everything that's gone on in Vegas, forget expansion. Just let's talk about Las Vegas for a minute. Everything that's gone on here, what I just said will translate into the playoffs. They're fast, and they want it. And they want it for the right reasons. They want it because they were let go from another team. They want it because we had a shooting in this city, and they want to pay tribute. And to be quite honest, they just want to win the Stanley Cup. I was a kid who played this game. We dream about hoisting the Stanley Cup at every event. Your mother could be getting married for the third time. You're watching her get married, dreaming of hoisting the Stanley Cup. My mom's only been married once, by the way. But you could be at a funeral, your best friend's funeral, and you're sitting there dreaming of hoisting the Stanley Cup. And we go over that scenario in our head. We're playing road hockey as a kid, and we build a little goofy trophy out of sticks. And we're like, to win the Stanley Cup, 3 seconds left, it's over. It's no different than, you know, hitting the shot at the buzzer in basketball. These guys want to win, and we have given them extra reasons to win, and I think that's going to be dangerous for anybody who plays the Golden Knights.
Mark, you've talked about this before, but hockey's been a part of your life pretty much your entire life, and you've been in Vegas for 5-plus years, and what has this – obviously you are a part of the team in that you're there in T-Mobile Arena getting everybody hyped up for every home game, but you're connected to it in a lot of different ways. How has this team's success and just being in Las Vegas changed your Las Vegas life and the way that you think of this city?
We have a pro franchise in Las Vegas. I think that's it right there. It's so exciting to have pro sports, whether it's, you know, basketball, baseball, football, or hockey. You know, obviously I'm prone to hockey because it's what I grew up with. We have a pro franchise in a major market, and it's the timing could not have been better. For me personally, it just, you know, I was a part of this since it was, you know, its inception. Vegas wants hockey. I was on the founding 50, which came the founding 75, and it was our job to just call our friends and say, hey, we have the chance to bring a pro hockey team here. Give me $500 for a season ticket deposit, and let's convince the league that we have a fan base.
So it's like your life.
Yeah.
Just calling people saying, give me money.
Sure.
You're very good at it.
Well, thank you. I wish I'd be able to keep half of it all the time. I always got to give it to somebody else. Yeah, any of it. But no, I think what I hear every night at T-Mobile or inside the fortress, as we like to call it, people who aren't hockey fans coming to their first hockey game. We had 41 home games, and I think on the 41st home game, it was somebody's first experience.
I know it was. Yeah, I sat next to them out in the park before I came in.
Yeah, they're so excited.
I was giving them a hard time, though. Where have you been?
Now, you're not going to be able to get tickets for the playoffs.
That's
like
true.
You're not going to be able to get tickets for the playoffs. It's the hottest ticket in town, and it's just exciting. But for me personally, this is a lifelong family thing. My father bought a junior franchise in the Canadian Hockey League when I was really young. He bought it from the Esposito brothers, Phil and Tony Esposito. And, you know, it's just the hockey lineage that has come out of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario is iconic. We had some of the greatest players of all time play for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. And when my father, picked up that franchise, he was a dentist. He didn't know anything about hockey. And I use his sort of business model and all of the things I do. You know, he said, hey, we want to save this team and keep the franchise in our hometown. And he goes, I'm going to find the best general manager. I'm going to find the best coach. I'm going to find the best trainer. And we're going to let them do their job. You know, managers manage, coaches coach, trainers train. And I take that philosophy across the board with anything. But I think, you know, looking at that and saying that out loud, and then I look at the Vegas Golden Knights and I look at Mr. Foley, he's not a hockey guy. He's a business guy. But he did the exact same thing. He said, I want to get a team, and I got the money that I can get the best guys in their position to help me succeed. So he went out and got, I attest to this, he's the greatest general manager in pro hockey right now. We have the best GM in the game. He built the Washington Capitals. They've been competitive, if not first place, for the, like, how long now?
Yeah, it's
4 years.
They won President's Trophy 2 years in a row, but they've been at the top of their division for 10.
And that's George McPhee's doing. I don't care. I don't care if anybody in Washington hears this and wants to complain with me. It's his team. He built that team, and I think they're...
I don't think they would.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. And then we were talking about Gallant already being the best coach for this type of team. So the framework is there. And then, you know, I don't think there's much ego on the ice with our guys. They all want to go to battle for each other, and it's just awesome. I love the game. I love what I'm seeing from hockey management side of the team. I think they're handling themselves incredibly well for what, you know, they're doing, and they've set themselves up to succeed. So part of me was like Ken going, oh, man, we're going to be pretty shitty. But there was
they
a little.
Should have been.
Yeah, they should have been. But part of me, after watching them for like literally 2 weeks, going,
they're not.
They're not. And these guys will compete. And that was the biggest thing that I wanted, because I knew going in from an entertainment side, my job could be very challenging, because there could be nights in the arena where we're getting crushed 6-1 and I got to get on the mic and get people clapping and having a good time. But I knew quickly that I was like, oh my God, these guys can compete. They can skate. They're fast and they want it. And I'll cheer for that all day long, even if we do lose, you know, because they're human beings out there bringing their all. And to me, that's exciting. And again, that's that circle of coming back to what it's done for the community, pro sports, guys who live now and work here and want to compete for all the right reasons. Yeah, they want to win a Stanley Cup, but they know what this means to the city, and they're carrying with them. They're carrying that with them on the ice every night, and it's apparent.
I like what it's done just to the city itself, completely separate from the hockey team and their success and anything. You see people proud to be from Vegas and proud to wear a logo that means Vegas. You couldn't, before the Golden Knights, you could wear a UNLV hat, UNLV shirt, but if it didn't say 1990, what are you doing? Like, let's be honest. Like, it didn't really mean anything. It didn't have that same pride that I think the Golden Knights logo had basically instantly. It was an immediate profession, or what's the word? Like, I'm telling the world.
Proclamation.
There it is. Profession. I'm like, that's what someone does for a living. It's not that. But it basically told everyone, I'm from Vegas. I'm happy to be from Vegas. And now you know I'm from Vegas. And not only am I from Vegas, there's a lot of people from Vegas. And we all actually live here. And then the events of the first 1 October... that brings everybody together even more. And I think that was a moment that, as horrible as it sounds, that was the moment that got this team to link to the city. It was going to probably happen eventually. It may have taken winning. It may have taken something to happen in the community, whatever. That happened 5 days before they played their very first game and 9 days before they played the very first game in franchise history at home. The timing was absurd.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. And to see them at the blood drives, and that I was at Metro headquarters when they went downtown, and this was within 48 hours of the events. To see the smiles on the faces of policemen on that day was ridiculous to me. And we were, I mean, now I look back, it was John Merrill, it was Griffin Reinhart, who never played a game for the team. It was Brendan Leipzig, who's been traded. Carlson was there. Hollo was there. Garrison played like 8 games. It was guys that didn't matter. Yeah. They were wearing a Golden Knights jersey, and they were representing the city to people who represent the city. It's still, to me, that event brought this team to this city and made it so that they were something to be proud of. Even before they won a game. Now they're winning games, and now it's very easy to be proud of them.
And that shows the importance of pro sports in cities. You know, coming from an entertainment background, you know, I being on stage on Broadway and stages here in Vegas, pro sports is different, and it's unique in that sense where it can truly unite a city, and it also it gave the events of 1 October a platform for a memorial type announcement, right. So to say, you know what I mean? Like,
what would we have done?
That's we can do a GoFundMe page. We can put our posts on social media. But to have a gathering with 18,000 people in one place and actually pay tribute, that's what the Golden Knights brought, an actual platform for that tribute.
What would have happened?
We would have built a memorial, which they probably did somewhere. They built the wall, right? Down on
there was a wall, and then at the sign.
Yeah, obviously. There would be maybe larger vigils and things of this nature, but
it wouldn't have been the same.
No.
Definitely would not have been something immediately after that could have brought joy to the 18,000 people.
And we had no choice. The season had to start. And I think
the timing was unbelievable.
The entertainment team made the right call, because I know I was involved in some meetings where we were like talking about, okay, how are we going to celebrate the opening of this franchise? There was no celebration we had. Yeah. After the shooting happened, 90-degree turn. 360, we're gonna pay tribute. And it was awesome. You know, Johnny Greco crushed it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in town a little bit longer than you guys. My family moved here in 1987, and I was a crazy basketball-obsessed kid. So when the Rebels won the NCAA championship in 1990, that was pretty much the biggest thing that had ever happened to me. Felt like it happened to me, but, you know, happened to Las Vegas also. I think the population of Clark County then was less than a million, maybe 760,000 or something like that. Damn. And today it's 2 million.
Over two, I think, right? Yeah. When you add it all up.
So it's hard to compare, though. I was thinking about this the other day. I was trying to compare, like, that moment, October 10th, the home opener with the Rebels, and it doesn't compare for so many different reasons. But I was at that game, and I remember, I mean, everybody remembers what happened as the game started. Derek England gave the speech. There was the national anthem with all the victims' names shining down on the rink. The next thing we hear is your voice, Mark, getting us excited for an actual hockey game, the fact that a hockey game was about to happen, nobody was thinking about that anymore at that point.
What was the decision-making process that went into that? Like, how, because it was a hard turn to screaming "Go Knights, go!" Like, was that the plan? This is going to end and we're going to have to just be hockey fans now? And was that hard on you?
It was challenging. I wasn't in on the decision making. You know, I showed up and they said, "This is what we're doing." But I think they made the right call, because it was a heavy, 15 minutes, you know?
It felt and, like 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's like in a good way.
And it's what we were just talking about. It's like you went to a memorial service and a hockey game broke out. Mm-hmm. I think emotions were running so high by that point. Like, you looked around and people were crying in the stands and players were a little, you know, not as loose as they probably should be. You're seeing them on the skates and
I'm sitting in the least emotional place in the building, in the press box, and no one was holding it together.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it was important also for the team, for the players as well, to get them going. Because one thing we do really well is we have a great warm-up. We have a great music roster of songs that get the players warmed up for that 15 minutes. And I think it was important to just say, hey, all right, look, we paid tribute here, and let's win this game. And what gives us the best chance to win this game is to get this building loud and excited about being Vegas born and Vegas strong. And we still carry those two sayings with us right through. And we're going to continue to do it right through the playoffs, because we're going to crush this thing and just say, hey, look, we are Vegas strong. We are Vegas born. This is a brand new team that started right here. And it's because of you guys. I mean that wholeheartedly when I say that at the game. This wouldn't exist if 15,000 people didn't buy season tickets. You guys wanted this. Now, they're playing out there for you guys. Let's go. Let's back them up. Let's get loud. And if that doesn't get you pumped up as a fan of any sport, don't come to the game. You know, and I even made a post on my social. I'm sick of seeing people who live here wearing the other jerseys. I think that time has come. I get it. You're from New York, born and raised. You live in Vegas now. but we're walking into the playoffs, and I don't want to see you wear. And if I know you, and I'm going to call you out, if you come to a Golden Knights playoff game wearing a Kings jersey or Anaheim jersey, whoever we end up may be playing, I'm going to let you have it. I said, because everything that we've gone through from October 1 through our opening to winning the division to now going into the playoffs, our team deserves your support in a way that you need to make a conscious choice. You need to be knighted. You don't need to be come up to the castle and get knighted in order to do it. Because somebody made the comment, I'm not doing it until I'm knighted. Well, with that attitude, I'm never going to knight you.
Definitely.
Because that's not a true fan. And I keep bringing up the no state tax, man. I'm like, if you live and work here and you reap the benefits of no state tax, you can afford to go out and buy a jersey and put it on and call yourself a fan.
Can't you just like run through the stands with a sword and just like knight everybody?
I like that plan.
I think so.
Probably maybe a foam sword would be better.
I think next year we'll look at a new knighting program and that's more open to the masses.
Inclusive.
Quicker. Yes. Yeah.
Rather than guess 14
what?
All season.
You came through a metal detector. You've been knighted.
Nailed it.
You're in.
It's hard to believe you can live here and not have fallen in love with this team. Even if you are a fan of another team, or like you said, were a fan of another team, I don't know how you don't love this team.
Yeah,
it's not just the winning. It's the coach. It's the atmosphere in the building. It's the players. It's the way that they've interacted with the fans. It's been amazing. They've done everything. And I was kind of making this point earlier today. Could the regular season have been better in any way at all? Has there ever been a regular season in sports history that has been like that? It couldn't be better, including the bad things that happened were great.
Yeah.
They wind up on their fifth goalie and put a 19-year-old kid in the net, and he gets scored on immediately. But yet, that's what should have been happening. That's what we wanted to happen. And we had those moments and still came back and won. Like, the whole thing, it kind of scares me for the playoffs. Because it's like, how long can this last? This is real life.
Ken, what's it been like for you, going back to the sin bin, to start this thing? Maybe it could be called a passion project. And then going from, you know, doing a podcast and writing about, like, what is this going to look like? What is this going to feel like? What are our uniforms going to look like? Yeah. What's the team's name going to be? To this incredible phenomenon.
It's unbelievable. It's like, it's almost ridiculous. You couldn't, I mean, I remember the day when there was a meeting in Boca Raton and Foley was invited to go to the meeting in Boca Raton, and he presented some presentation with the people from Quebec. And when it was all over, they didn't say anything about it. Have you ever seen MasterChef? Where they just eat the food and stare at the people. That's what I think happened. They don't say a word. And you're like, well, was it good? And then two owners' meetings later, they still did not say the word expansion. And like, I remember all of this. And all of a sudden, I always thought it was going to happen. I always thought they can't be this foolish to not take $500 million for a franchise that's worth like $100. You can't be that foolish. And they weren't. They wound up doing it. But then, all the crazy crap that happened with the TV broadcast almost getting blacked out, or the people not liking that Las Vegas was not the name, or the name Golden Knights was not terribly well received at the beginning, or whatever it happens to be. But meanwhile, the whole time, there was also this hockey side where they're like, they got the best general manager. You just got the best assistant general manager I think anyone's ever had in the history of hockey.
Yeah, good call.
They got a good coach that probably should have never been fired, and I think they would have rehired him if they weren't idiots. Like, all of this is happening. We're all sitting here like, well, maybe they're going to be okay in time. And then the expansion draft comes, and they get all these first-round picks, and the owner keeps yelling playoffs in three, cup in six, and it seems ridiculous, but there was a piece of me the whole time that said, this is a guy who went to school at West Point to be a soldier, and they wound up telling him, you know what, why don't you stay back and go sell airplanes for billions of dollars? And then he got bored of that and created Fidelity National Investments, which is now, what, Fortune 500. And then he's like, you know what, I think I'm better than McDonald's, so let me just buy Hardee's and Carl's Jr. And let me just fix this mountain resort in Montana. Like, you know what, yeah, I like wine. Let me just own 9 wineries. Like, who thinks that he's not going to be good at hockey? Like, why would you think that? And so then now I was like, well, wait, maybe he is going to be good. And now I'm like, cup and six, what are we waiting for?
Cup and one, baby.
I can remember cup and one being a joke. I remember them signing their very first player. His name was Reed Duke. And he's never played a game. And he will probably never play a game. Great kid. I love the kid. But he's just not. Yeah, he's not an elite hockey player. He's good, but he's not like an NHL elite hockey player. And I remember them signing him, and we were looking at his stats, and he scored like 40 goals because he was 2 years older than everybody else. And we're like, cup and one, it's happening. It was a joke. Then they would make a pick, and they would draft a guy, or they picked whoever it was. And I remember the very first pick. They picked Calvin Pickard, a goalie who was traded for nothing before the season began, and we were yelling cup and one as a joke. Now you say cup and one, and people are like, don't jinx it. Well, so you're seriously thinking this is going to happen, aren't you? Like, it's been wild, to say the least.
I have a hard time saying it because, like I said, I've lived here forever, and we haven't had a team. We haven't had a team, and now we do, and it's hard for me to process this. It's hard for me to – hard in a good way. But to go to the grocery store wearing a hat or a T-shirt and somebody sees it and goes, yeah, go Knights. And I'm like, what?
Who are you?
We do this? We just talk to each other in the store like this? Does this happen in That's other awesome. Cities? What's going on? I don't understand what's happening around me.
It does happen. It's awesome. And it's the best. And what scares me is we will – not that – these other sports should make as huge a difference, but there's football coming in, there's WNBA coming in, there's minor league soccer coming in. There's all of these things happening. Did you see the llama?
Just skip it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but all of these are coming in, and I always had this belief that it was going to be like a college town where – no matter who you are, no matter what you do, you have to know what's going on. I went to the University of Missouri, and when we were good at basketball while I was there, there were 18-year-old girls who had nothing to do with basketball that knew, well, we beat K-State last night. You had to know. That's what we have right now. I just hope it never changes. And I hope winning the cup every single year in the history of the franchise will do that. I assume – I think now cup in six means cups in six.
Dynasty.
Yeah, it's like why don't we win six of them in the first six?
Somebody made the joke the other day, we'll just win cup in one and then we'll sell our franchise to Seattle and call it a day because we really can't
That's all we need to do.
I'd
pass on that.
No, actually. It's going to be – what's happened so far, you could not have scripted – and could not have asked for a better, from a business side of building a fan base for a new franchise. What's been accomplished so far is epic. It's what you're talking about. It's walking into the grocery store and getting a high five from the guy in line because you're wearing a Golden Knights hat. That's it. It's been ingrained already in 41 home games. We have a team. And I'm not worried about football coming because football plays 8 weeks and we truly will be Vegas, the Vegas-born team. We will be the team of Las Vegas.
It ends, too.
Yeah.
It ends before hockey season really gets going.
It's 8 weeks. It's 8 home games. Yeah,
though.
Yeah, but I hope people realize that. I'm a football fan. I love football.
Is a different animal.
It is. But in the way that players engage the community, like you said, I don't...
For sure.
You know, we're here a lot. The Golden Knights players are here for 41 home games. It's an 82-game season. We continue to make the playoffs. We're in the news. People are talking about it. We're high-fiving in the streets. I'm excited to have pro football come to Las Vegas, but I don't think it's going to even have remotely the impact that the Golden Knights have had simply because of the timing as to when it all went down. And we have ingrained a hockey culture now. You may not know the game. And I think we do have those 18-year-old girls walking around Las Vegas wearing the Golden Knights hat. And I look at the nightclub scene, too, where, you know, all these bottle service girls, some of the most beautiful women in Las Vegas, are sporting Golden Knights shirts at tables now for promotions and things. Yep. And it's here. We're here. We're staying. We're not going anywhere. And we're going to compete. Cup and one.
Cup and one, baby. I still find the Raiders thing to be a bit off-putting towards the owner of the Golden Knights. I think it's ridiculous that someone goes out of his way to spend every single dollar and not ask for a penny from anyone in the city. And then the second his franchise becomes a real thing, I was corrected yesterday, the county goes out and hands out $750 million to the ultimate competition. It's complete garbage, and we should not have done it just because it's ridiculous to the owner of the Golden Knights. I have nothing against the Raiders. I have nothing against the NFL. I just think it was a bogus thing to do to someone who did it the correct way, to immediately create controversy towards him and create competition towards him, was ridiculous, and it was the wrong thing to do.
I've never thought of that. That's a great point.
Yeah, I think long term that is going to be the thing that, you know, the Golden Knights will forever be Vegas's home team.
Oh, yeah.
And the Raiders or any other franchise that comes into town will have to contend with that
for
instead
sure.
of it being Absolutely. The other way around.
But there were things that happened that were out of the control of the Golden Knights to make that happen. The timing of what happened, the rules, the way that the players happened, William Karlsson being a thing. These things happened that didn't necessarily have to happen. No, if they were the worst team in the league, like they probably should have been, and the moment they got good was the day that the Raiders began playing, it may not have happened. And unfortunately, I don't think that the people that made the decision to bring the Raiders here were being fair on the owner that did it the correct way.
Yeah, I don't even think they... You know,
they don't care. No, they never cared because they were the people who were going to bring the NFL to Vegas. And I get it. And we will probably have Super Bowls, and I will probably attempt to attend, and it will be amazing, and I will be singing a different tune. But
process.
I still think it's not fair. And it's wrong. And unfortunately, he stood up too late.
Yeah. Oh, we're having the Super Bowl.
Oh,
that's happening.
Yeah, of course.
That's
definitely happening. You know, and there were some things in place, though, also that made the inception of the Golden Knights possible, too. And Mr. Foley had his advantage with a brand new T-Mobile Arena sitting there, which he didn't have to pay for. And
he paid a portion of it.
A portion, but, you know, not all of it.
He would have.
I'm sure he would have. But those are elements, major elements that come into play when you look at expansion in general. You know, and I look at other markets who want teams and they just don't have the facility
right.
for the league to say, yeah, you can have a team. So, you know, to that extent, you know, it was great for us because T-Mobile was being built and we had awesome partners behind that facility that believed in the project as well. And I think the long run, having MGM in there, and is it AEG, Brock, that's in there as well?
Yeah.
AEG Live. You know, like, come on, man. Those guys are. And I look and I talk to people who are like, as you do too, people come to visit Vegas to watch a game. They don't realize how busy T-Mobile Arena is.
Right.
It's not like the Minnesota Wild playing in this awesome, really well-designed arena in Minneapolis. They don't have 6 concerts that week in addition to a hockey game. T-Mobile's probably one of the busiest arenas in the country. Outside of Staples Center. I don't have those stats, but you guys see how many concerts and events are coming through T-Mobile.
It's brand new.
And
it's
only
2.5 years old. I mean, you imagine 10 years from now, there wouldn't shock me if there's a WNBA team, an NBA team, the NHL team, and every single concert that can fill an arena.
Yeah. Can you imagine an arena that seats 18,000 occupied 200 nights a year? Yeah. Well, you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's probably more than 200 nights a year.
It's not, but
it's up there.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, when that arena was being built, it gave the NHL kind of a. They weren't in a situation where if they pulled out that the arena would not have been built. the AEG and MGM said, we're building this.
Yeah.
Whether we get hockey or not, we're going to build it because we think you're going to want to eventually come here, and we're going to build it as a hockey arena because you're going to figure it out. You're going to see the light.
I toured it when it was under construction, and I got to see the groundwork for the facilities. Like the NBA locker rooms are sitting there currently.
I sit in it every week. That's where we do the press conference.
That's where our pregame production meetings are. We're in NBA 1 or 2, you know, and I got to tour the hockey ground plans. And it's, again, from a player's standpoint, going back to wanting to play in the city, you're playing in a brand new facility in an arena that was built for you from the ground up. So they didn't convert this room to a training facility. This is the training facility. The soaking tubs were poured into the concrete here. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unbelievable what these guys have in their locker room.
All right, I have one last very serious sports question for this very serious sports discussion. Do you think we are going to see a lot of Las Vegans with a William Karlsson blonde mullet in the coming months? And if not, why not?
They should. I do not think that, because I do not think that most people have the Swedish heritage to be able to pull that off. Like, I would love to do such a thing, but
you and me both,
it ain't happening for you and I.
We can always go get wigs.
If it were up to me, I was just going to say, if it were up to me, there would be 18,000 wigs handed out that upon entry.
Certainly has to be something for next year.
Yeah, that absolutely.
William Karlsson Wig Day should absolutely be a
happen.
What a great
But day. I think there is something there, because I get my haircut at, I'll give him a plug, Fino Barbershop over on Sahara. And they were talking about it, because a couple of the players get their haircut there. And they were saying that, man, I hope some of these haircuts become a thing, because they don't know how to cut them like that. You know, barbers are, you know, clippers on the side, and you take a little off the top. There's some quaffs in the National Hockey League, from beards to, and it's a hip mullet. There's no way around it. It's a mullet, but it's
not
evolved.
An Andre Agassi mullet.
No,
he scored 43 goals.
Yeah.
He could literally be wearing a mop at his head, and I'm in.
Yeah,
like, you score 43 goals. He is plus 49. Let me just explain what that means. It means when he's on the ice, the Golden Knights have scored 49 goals more than they've allowed, and that's only at even strength. The next closest player in the league is his teammate, Jonathan Marchessault, at 37. He's 49. The next closest non-Golden Knight is 31. 18 goal difference for one player.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And his hair looks so good.
It's ridiculous.
It turns me on a little when he gets sweaty and you see the dangling parts come out of his helmet. I like it.
He goes by
the glass and it flicks sweat up onto the window.
And he is so...
It's a movie.
He is so calm and cool. Like, when you talk to him, he's basically Brock.
We're taking some turns in this show that nobody would have predicted.
I might have, actually. When this started, I was like, I have a feeling we're going to get into how...
We all want to take Karlsson out on a date.
All right. Let's move on to the Vegas you need. This is where we go around the table and give you a recommendation for something Vegas that you need to check out. Ken, you're going to go first.
Oh, I'm right.
Congratulations.
Right away.
Wow, I thought I was going to get some time.
Nope.
Mine would be the Pinball Hall of Fame. It is on...
Nice.
It is on Tropicana and, like, what, Marylandish?
Yes.
It is the best. It is, you go in there and there are pinball machines from right now, and there are pinball machines from well before I was born. There are pinball machines that have a million bells and whistles, and there are ones where you put in a quarter and it is literally impossible to keep the ball in play for more than about 9 seconds, and it's awesome. They have arcade games. They have bubble hockey there.
Ooh.
There is a bubble hockey table there. It is just an awesome place. You go with $10 and you will spend 3 hours of enjoyment. It's fantastic. And if you're good,
that's a great call.
That place is, one thing about that place is I interview a lot of famous people. It's my job. And I often ask them, like, are you going to get time to hang out in Vegas? What are you going to do? Are you going to go see a show? What restaurant do you want to eat at? You'd be surprised how many people really? Say, I'm looking forward to going back to the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Can we get some examples, or is this
Questlove?
Questlove, yeah, that doesn't surprise
Questlove.
Me.
Questlove, yeah, loves that bad. Place.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show.
That's a great pick.
A show from there would be very loud.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
the sound of getting the replay bonus is very loud.
Mm-hmm. It's very slot machine-esque.
Mark, what are you going to choose today for the Vegas you need?
I'm
going to
keep it in since it's the hockey day here.
I think I would have done Vegas. That. I probably should.
I'm going to throw out Mackenzie River over at good old City National. I was surprised the first time I ate there because you would think, oh, I'm going to the Golden Knights practice facility or the local hockey arena. The food's just going to be it's awesome. It's actually great, great food. I had the poutine and a few things, but the poutine stuck with me as a Canadian. You want to make sure it's legit.
It gets a Canadian seal of approval.
It's the cheese curd and the gravy. The combination's fantastic. But Mackenzie River and City National. And one of the coolest things there is the place is packed when the Golden Knights practice. And that's something that, you know, growing up in the game and being a part of the game for so long, I took for granted practice, you know, pro teams that practice. I can tell you straight up that there are very few teams in the National Hockey League that get a turnout for their practices like what's happening here in
there are very
Vegas.
Few that are even open.
Open to the public. And that may change. You know, that may change. The team may look at that down the road and say, hey, maybe some of these practices aren't going to be open. But it's been unbelievable to see 2,000 people in there, right?
Yep.
About 2,000?
Yep.
Yeah, 2,000 people watching a hockey practice. I'm like, this is awesome.
Do you know who owns Mackenzie River Pizza?
I'm going to guess. Bill Foley?
That's exactly.
Yeah. Well, isn't it from Montana?
Yeah.
Isn't Mackenzie River place. Montana? Yeah.
He had like six of them. He's also good at that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. What is he not good at? It's absurd.
Well, I'm going to take him out and ask. Hey, Bill.
What
are you not good at? That's a question.
I would love to know the answer.
That's a question for Bill. All right, Brock. What do you got for all of Vegas?
I'm going to go with a new restaurant that I just ate dinner at that you wouldn't really think about going to. It's a Chinese restaurant. It's at the MGM Grand. So I realized that for locals, you don't want to go and fight the craziness on the strip just to have dinner. And I don't think people like Chinese food all that much because I think people like P.F. Chang's.
I do.
And like Panda Express.
Yes. But that's not Chinese food.
Peiwei's good.
I mean, you know, it's Chinese food the way that, yeah, Peiwei's pretty good.
It's good.
But this new place is called China Tang. It's actually, there are several locations in China, and we have a new one here at MGM Grand. We also have a lot of really fancy Chinese restaurants on the strip that can be a little bit intimidating. This one has that kind of food, fine dining food, but the environment is more energetic and upbeat and a little more casual. So you can go in there and have really great authentic food. You can ball out and get like Peking duck and spend way too much money if you want to go that route, or you can just do like you would do at your neighborhood Chinese spot and get a bunch of things and share.
Do they have a Lazy
Excellent
Susan?
Food. Oh, yes.
I love Lazy Susan.
Lots of Lazy Susan.
Is it in that same corner?
It's back where the like kind of the restaurant row is towards the Grand Garden Arena.
Oh, okay. No, it's not. So it's not in the same. What is in that corner now where there used to be a Chinese restaurant?
That's where it is, but they opened it out. They opened it up. They took down the wall that used to
divide. Oh, no, not that
divide
Chinese
the
restaurant. That one moved. There's another one.
You're ruining the China Tang.
You're throwing me off.
The China Tang's awesome. No, it's over in the corner. Like, it has like a, I don't know. It was a Chinese restaurant and it was not good and it closed.
It was like a little casual thing.
Kinda.
Was it by the coffee shop?
Yes, where Starbucks is.
Yeah, I think they just folded that into, they redid the coffee Excellent shop and decision. They just got rid of that thing altogether. They don't need it now.
Something to do
they
with
have
that.
China Tang, which is awesome at MGM Grand. Go check it out.
Pinball Hall of Fame. Awesome call, Ken.
Yeah,
I'm going to go back. I've been a few times. It's awesome.
And then
majestic,
go to China Tang.
Majestic. Mackenzie River. See, I'm talking hockey.
Yes.
That movie. What was the movie?
Mystery Alaska.
Mystery Alaska.
Yeah.
Good
film.
That's a good one. We'll bring
you
it back.
You can go to the Pinball Hall of Fame and then China Tang.
There you go. They're right next to each other.
They are.
They are.
And then since you can't get Golden Knights playoff tickets, you can go with me and crowd into Mackenzie River Pizza and drink a lot of beer and cheer for this team.
Please don't ask me for tickets. I do not have them.
Me neither. I don't have tickets either.
Ken, thank you so much for being here with us today. Do you have any tickets that you can?
I do not have tickets.
Mark, what is coming up? I know the next Monday's Dark is April 16th. I know that it is benefiting Help of Southern Nevada.
Help of Southern Nevada. And then every Tuesday night, we started a great program called the Tuesday Night Jazz Series in the Backspace. If you are a fan of jazz, there is no place to be other than at the Backspace every Tuesday night. Doors are at 9, and we play until you go home. Some of the best local entertainers in that jazz world hanging out. That's it, man. We are...
The space has all the cool, like, kind of old Vegas feels going on. The after-hours jazz, the...
A.J. Lambert.
That you just can't find this stuff in Monday's very many Dark. Places anymore.
It's just a fun spot, man, and we've been fortunate to have some support of some really great people in town, and I'm going to call Bill Foley.
See if he wants to get involved. There too.
Great podcast. You know, obviously this room, the recording space, as we like to call it, and, you know, obviously Sinbin is here. If you guys aren't listening or following, follow Sinbin. How do they follow you? Just on social, yeah?
Just
Twitter?
Sinbin.
Yeah. It's a great name, man.
Vegas.
It's awesome. It's a great name. Dude, you're a killer guest.
It's probably a stretch, but thank you.
Killer. Go check that out. Find every episode of this podcast, All the Vegas, on iTunes and YouTube and at LasVegasWeekly.com. Be sure to pick up this week's copy of Las Vegas Weekly with hockey all over the cover. It's everywhere across the valley. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Drive carefully. Come back soon.